1943. It could be after you at the
city. Yes. I didn't have that commuting, you see, back. That was very tiring. Mm-hmm. Very colloquial and back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during those days, incidentally, did I mention about a brownout that we had? The plant in Maywood, to reach there, you would leave like Long Beach Boulevard, and you would take Atlantic Avenue at Long Beach, Ocean Boulevard. And where Atlantic Avenue is, you'd take Atlantic Avenue. They didn't have freeways or highways then.
Mm-hmm.
And you would drive right straight out Atlantic Avenue to Gage, which is up in Maywood. So it's miles up. And then you'd make a right turn or east and go approximately 3/4 of a mile. And there was the plant.
Mm-hmm.
So at night, when you went north on Atlantic Boulevard, driving away from the ocean, all of the street standards, the street lights, were blacked out.
Mm-hmm.
And you drove with your headlights on low beam, not high beam. Then, on the way back to Long Beach, facing the ocean, all the lights on that side were not painted. So you see bright lights all the way down.
I think you mentioned that it said that if you went one direction, the light was normal, but if it going the other direction, it was all in dark, going inland.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Away from the ocean.
Uh-huh.
And then we couldn't have shades raised at night.
Mm-hmm.
We had to have curtains up.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we had shades, had put curtains up. And there was I'm sure San Diego had it too, an exhilarating atmosphere during the war in Long Beach because it was a military town.
Mm-hmm.
And they had down at the Sheriff Patrol headquarters at the foot of Pico Landing between Long Beach and Terminal Island.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the Liberty boats came in. And then after the war started, they didn't have the Liberty boats come in because there weren't any ships anchored out. But they had social activities for the military. And it was so I volunteered with a group of women, and we would go down, and they had square dancing, and we played ping pong, and served coffee, and talked. And there were so many men that were from the Midwest, away from home for the first time. Some of them were just youngsters. And I spent as much time as I could in the evenings down there, Sunday afternoons. And so I made some very nice friends.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some pen pals and so on and so forth.
Now, where was this located?
Between Terminal Island.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And Long Beach.
Uh-huh.
Between the two, there is still there. It's the Sheriff Patrol headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's about the best way that I can locate it.
Was there a USO?
Yes, that's what it was, USO.
Uh-huh.
And so I wore a special little uniform. I had a button or a badge, mm-hmm, indicating I was a hostess.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose it was a very minute, a minuscule example of the Hollywood canteen, you might say, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And so quite a few of we women, we participated in that down. So, you know, very patriotic in a way. But on the other hand, I think that's fine. That the first man that I started to date was probably in that activity.
The USO?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Was these were like dances and things like that?
Yes, they had that dancing, square dancing. They played ping pong. There weren't cards so many. They had, in the daytimes, they would have archery.
Mm-hmm.
And then they served coffee, cokes, and food. And the chaplain was there, and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And they always had a few people around them because some of the boys, they just needed, you might say, kind of spiritual guidance.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a hubbub of activity.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very gay in a way, because the boys were away from their ship. They were in the company of women. They were lonesome. And it was a wonderful thing, really.
Mm-hmm. So So, you were there when you said you, that was probably when you thought you met the first person.
Yes. Yeah.
You started talking about that when we were on the other side.
Yeah.
There was a Dutch.
Yeah, a Dutch flyer.
Uh-huh.
And he was in training here. Now, I don't know where he was training. But when I stopped to think about it, it seems to me that he'd come back from the Pacific, and it was an interim stop on his way to another training. Maybe they're going to have new planes he's going to start working with in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
But he was here, you know, several weeks. And I remember him especially because he was such a charming person. He had an accent,
mm-hmm.
and he was very, very nice. And to me, he was just... a superior, a type of person. I wasn't used to meeting people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And name was, I almost can think of his name, come to think of it. And also, though, he had a kind of like a gun sight or a, I'm not sure, it was some special part of the plane that was, and he left it at my house, yes, if he could.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in a sealed container. And why he left it with me, or why he, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
but he did. And of course, with a great sense of responsibility that I said yes, and we picked out, I think, a place in a closet where it would stay.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably was only there about a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very conscious of being in my house, because this was war. And
uh-huh.
So I liked that, I think.
Uh-huh. Do you remember his name?
I wish I could think of
it.
I might.
So, how did you feel about the whole thing of being out again and dating again? Did that, I mean, be...
It was very unreal.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like anything I'd ever experienced before, the types of young men. And most of them, I'm trying to think who I, I started, then one man that, he was, he worked in a, where did he work? He worked at a war plant. Now, it wasn't where I worked. It was another plant, and I don't know, he was at a shipyard down at Terminal Island, a civilian shipyard. And, he was from Texas. And he was one of those that worked in defense, so he wouldn't have to go into the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But he was, lots of fun. He had a car, and I really saw more of Long Beach and its environs when I was with him
mm-hmm.
than at any other time before that. So we two went to San Diego, and I believe we went to Tijuana,
mm-hmm.
and we went up to Big Bear. I'd never been up there before. And he taught me about chili. I'd never eaten chili before. And I'm sure that I prepared some meals, probably, but that was kind of an exciting, kind of a fun time. I didn't. And he had, his sister was here and a brother-in-law, and they lived out in Lakewood, when Lakewood was among the first houses before the section that I live in was built. It was up just north and a little bit west of City College. But between City College and downtown Long Beach, there was practically nothing except Greenfield. There was no Cal State at all. It was just very empty out here. But his that was another reason that I liked Russell so much, because I just loved his sister and her family,
mm-hmm.
and they had two children. And Russell's brother-in-law worked in defense in the area. And they were so nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a home atmosphere, and they welcomed me. And it was very, very nice. It was a very pleasant time in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this time you're working at the shipyard, and you said it was, January 45 or 44?
Yes. No, it was January 40.
Mm-hmm. It was in June 43 that you were...
Yeah, in January 45, then I transferred in, I was already in civil service at the shipyard.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I transferred to Navy Housing office where I lived.
How did you hear about that job?
Well, you see, in those days they had they advertised jobs. Mm-hmm. And, I know how it was. I paid my rent at the Navy Housing Office, and Mr. Brewington, the manager, said there was a vacancy, and he wondered if I might be interested. Mm-hmm. And of course I was, because then I walked one half block and I was home. I could go home for lunch, and it was, you know, then I really learned a more formal type of office work, and I was the one that interviewed new tenants when they came in to see if they were eligible, mm-hmm. and put them on a priority list, and then called them and the housing was available and so on. Mm-hmm. But there was an offshoot result of working here. I was absolutely cut off from almost any sociability. I still went down to the USO, but you see, at the shipyard there were so many people. Mm-hmm. And it was a different atmosphere. We were close to town, downtown Long Beach. And out here in the Navy Housing Project, that is 5 miles from Terminal Island, for example. And then I was really in the atmosphere of the widows and the sort of the gloom of being in the Navy housing, because I was there practically 24 hours a day. You see, I was in the office, and then at home I was still in the heart of it, you might say. Mm-hmm. But I stayed there for a long time, because I didn't leave there until 1953.
You were there almost 10 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you had mentioned before something that I didn't follow up on very well, is that you had talked about the women in the shipyard saying, maybe resenting the fact that you were comfortable office,
yeah.
or whatever,
yeah.
compared to out in the cold, the
yeah.
dusty shop. And you started to talk about going to lunch, that was something.
I stand in line in the cafeteria line,
uh-huh.
and it was a long line. There were so many people. I don't know how many people, but there were thousands of people working here in the shipyard.
Mm-hmm.
And a lunch was on different shifts,
mm-hmm.
but still you waited in these long lines.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you got into the cafeteria, it was just total bedlam in a way. And I suppose the food was okay. I don't remember, but and one reason that I put up with this, what I would term nonsense now, there was a way to get out of the office and get some fresh air, and then I would meet my friend, my roommate, Alice, in line, and we would, but I could tell by the glances, now, they were nice to me, because the boss was so nice to me, you see, and I'm sure that they, in school, it would be called, like, teacher's pet, and so on. And I, my financial situation was secure.
Mm-hmm.
I was young. And I had no responsibilities to a husband or to a household. And I was completely independent.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I know that they didn't like it.
Do you think that, in terms of the people you ate with that was in, mainly the other women, or was it other people from the office?
No, you didn't choose and select. You took a place wherever there was one.
Uh-huh.
It was so crowded.
Uh-huh.
You've never the same place twice in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Eating was strictly a mechanical gesture there, and getting in, eating and getting out.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it worked in with getting out of the office, and we probably only had about 30 minutes lunch, because it was, the shipyard was a 24-hour a day job situation.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I think you worked your full time. It isn't like it is now in civil service.
Did you have the same break in things?
No, you see, I could slip out when I wanted to. And the other girls, they had lead men, and they were men in the shops who'd never worked with women before in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, their language wasn't the best around the girls. There were a lot of blacks, a lot of blacks. And in those days, women had never been around, never even been around them. And I'm sure they were treated okay. It wasn't that, but just being in their company, and maybe having to work, I won't say alongside them, but in the very, very close vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as I say, was sitting in my office, all glass dim, with a door going in and out, and not far from me was the boss's desk, and anybody could see. There I was sitting, doing my nice office work and typing and answering the phone and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the only woman you see in the whole shop in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that I was getting a pension.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they resented it.
Mm-hmm.
Did
they have black women working there too?
No, I don't think so. Not in my shop.
Uh-huh.
Now, there was another shop called the Laborer's Shop. And those are the people that swept down the dry docks and swept down the piers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were cleaning people.
Mm-hmm.
And they cleaned restrooms and this type of thing. Now, the black women were there, you see, in that group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was, I think you're saying this is all civil service and it's Navy.
Was Navy, it, civil service, yeah.
There was a union or anything?
No, no, they still don't have unions. Service.
Yeah.
Well, they do, but and they don't. But just because you work like in an office over there, you don't belong to a union.
Mm-hmm.
But there are lobbyists for Navy Civil Service,
mm-hmm.
and in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you want to, it's voluntary. You can pay into a fund, and they use that money, you see, to put across certain legislative moves. But there's no union.
Was there anything there that was a special arrangement for the women who were working there, like a women's counselor or anything like that? Anyone say that was sort of like
Rose was? Oh, not in the shipyard.
Uh-huh.
No, you were on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You earned good, the one thing you did earn a good income.
Mm-hmm.
Although I guess, yeah, Lockheed, it was good too. But you see, Lockheed, I had to drive 16 miles back and forth to work. And at the shipyard, it was 5 miles,
mm-hmm.
which was a big difference.
With the money you were making, did you have any goals? Was there anything?
I've always, all my life, been somebody, when I could, whenever that's when I was first married, the first time I ever had a savings account.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always saved money, and mainly through bonds. You see, in those days, we had war bonds.
Mm-hmm.
We signed up for them, and they were taken automatically out of our pay. But I remember the first time I ever opened a savings account when I was married to Maxie, the Farmers and Merchants, which was downtown. And then I remember that the money accumulated, and then I was able to buy a car. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I left in a great deal at one time. I would accumulate an income, and then I remember I bought a fur coat and paid cash for it, mm-hmm. money that I'd saved, this type of thing. Yeah, but I had the feeling that the first time in my life, money was coming in, and it didn't have to be saved particularly, but it was always in me to save.
So, did you want to save things for anything special? Just
no, I always had it.
Uh-huh.
I always had savings. If I wanted to take a vacation and go up to see my family, I was able to afford my trip very nicely, and from then on, money was really no problem.
Did, When you went to the Navy housing job, did you take a cut in pay to do that?
No, just a minute. Yes, I did. It went from an hourly scale to an annual basis.
Hmm.
When I first started to work in Navy housing, I started in the low end of the pay scale, which is what they call a GS, General Service 2, is the lowest. And it goes up to 19 or 20, you know, like in Washington. So I was really, and it was $1,400 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was less, but you see, with my pension coming in at $50 a month, I was okay, and I wasn't making as much. And the reason I made the move, I'm sure, was because it was in for real, an office type work. I was no longer under the I was no longer considered not industrial, but that type of work. This was strictly a clerical type job.
Mm-hmm.
When I was at the shipyard, I was not rated as clerical help.
Mm-hmm.
I was rated as production. That's what I wanted to say. But here in Navy housing, I was clerical,
mm-hmm.
And of course, then it's up to you. Oh, yes, and within your pay scale in civil service, like GS-2, there are 10 automatic pay raises once a year. You automatically go up. You don't have to take tests or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And during this time, any time that, for instance, if you know of a, like a GS-3 rating, you take an examination, possibly, or you might even just be transferred into the job. And then again, in your GS-3, now there's an overlap between the top of the GS-2 would be about the middle of a GS-3. So I stayed as a GS-2 for a while, and then I graduated, then I went to a GS-3, I think. Yeah. And I worked there, you know, quite a number of years, and then they closed the shipyard. Well, meanwhile, I got married.
Okay,
very good.
That's one.
Okay, now.
So, you've done it in 45, you started working in the Navy.
Yes.
You mentioned that it really changed your social life. Were you still single?
Yes.
At that time?
Yeah.
So, you mentioned that you were living in the housing and you go to work. There.
Half block away.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And come back home. And what was your day like, say, after you got home?
Alice was there.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent very quiet evenings. Now, of course, they didn't have television in those days.
Mm-hmm.
It was radio. But they had wonderful, in the evenings, they'd have the Radio Mystery Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Sherlock Holmes stories. And Alice was a real nut about mystery stories.
Mm-hmm.
And detective stories. And she and I used to go to the library and we'd get books, and she always had Sherlock Holmes stories and these type of things. So I remember on Sunday afternoons, traditionally for a working woman, you start late Sunday afternoon getting ready for work Monday morning. Usually you wash your hair and different things that have to be done. And we would, of course, do that too. And then we'd have the radio on, and we'd settle down together, and we'd listen to these different plays and so on. And one of the girls that I worked with at Lockheed, her husband was an Army officer with the port of embarkation in Wilmington. Okay. And he was a major. And I'd never met him. I knew she lived a different social life than I did because my husband had been an enlisted man and I lived in Navy housing. And I'd never met an officer or anything, except down at the USO, but that was different.
Mm-hmm.
So her name was Valerie. And so one day, now I'm trying to think, did she? She transferred to the Navy shipyard also.
Mm-hmm.
So one day she asked me if I would like to meet one of the fellow officers of her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And... oh, I was immensely, I didn't know what to expect exactly.